this is Michael from Theme Park Brothers, and I would like to invite you to check out our YouTube channel. At Theme Park Brothers, we take you with us as we visit the Disney Parks, Universal Orlando, SeaWorld, Busch Gardens, and many other theme parks around the country. This summer, we took our viewers with us as we visited Canada for the first time. It brings us joy to share our experiences in hopes that it will inspire you and your family to get out and enjoy the parks. Our videos share our experiences in different ways. Some are walkthroughs with ambient sounds. In other episodes, we dive deep and have discussion. There is sure to be something for you at Theme Park Brothers. Head over and hit that subscribe button. Catch you on the flippity flop.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dub-de-Dub Review. I'm Stacey Nyman, and I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Malik. How are you tonight, Chris?
I'm doing good, Stacey. Thank you. A little chilly, but it could be worse.
I know. It's been, well, it has been worse already this year. I'm so thankful that all the snow and the ice has finally melted. We can see sidewalks again.
You know, I'm a winter crabby dude. And when winter sets in like the first week of November with snow, I'm going to be just one crabby, right?
Gosh, I've been like, and I get so scared walking on ice to begin with. And then to have it be this early in the year, and we still have, Scott and I still have like 2 23-mile training runs to go before Dopey. I'm like, I just need dry sidewalks just for those 2 days. And then it could just snow the heck out of everything after that point. But dry sidewalks, 2 days I need.
And anyone who listens that's in the South or California or Florida, they're like, I don't even know what you're talking. Is that language? Is that English? What do you say?
I know.
Right? We dislike you all. I just want you to know that.
I know. Exactly. Well, someday, hopefully we'll both be one of you. So we can.
We'll like you then.
Exactly. But we'll make fun of us.
Correct.
All right, so we have a pretty major holiday in the United States coming up this week. Do you have any big plans for Thanksgiving?
Well, so Thanksgiving in my family goes one of two ways. So, yes, it's family, it's food, it's watching football. But it's also because you got two families, so it was like stress. It's like a stressful holiday. It's the one holiday of the year. Like, Christmas gets subdivided, Christmas Eve and Christmas, nice and tidy. But Thanksgiving is like, go ahead and eat a ton. Not too much, because you got to go to the next house. Go ahead and not too much. And
you're a house hopper, huh?
Yes. And we just try to. So we've got it down to a little more of a science now where we eat a big meal here, we eat dessert here. It's a great day, but it's always like, I hope this works out well kind of day, you know?
So. Yeah.
And you, I know you've got craziness at your house, right? You're the queen of craziness.
Yeah, we always have.
Right?
Yeah, we have like a lot of people come over, about 30 or so, a little bit more maybe. But the good thing is that we just kind of have to get the house ready. And we decorate and set out all the tables and chairs for everybody. But really, we just kind of clean. And I make the mashed potatoes and I do the Le Cellier cream cheese mashed potatoes. And everybody loves that. But otherwise, everybody brings stuff, so that really helps out a lot. And we have a lot of cousins come over, and the kids love it. And it's just, I think it's a lot of fun, and it gets our house clean, so that's really nice too. Because otherwise, there's like long breaks between parties here at our house, so Thanksgiving adds another opportunity for us to like really deep clean and purge and all that kind of stuff too. So
hang on,
it's like a little blessing in disguise.
Wait a minute. So you are like a Thanksgiving genius. So all you have to provide is a house and mashed potatoes, and then everyone else brings over the feast to your house, right?
It's great because this house has been Scott's great uncle built our house, and so Scott's mom grew up here, and so the house has always been in the family, and it's always been the Thanksgiving destination. So even though everybody lives so far away from us now, they're all like spread out in the suburbs. They all make the journey into Chicago for this holiday. And then for Christmas and stuff, we go out into the suburbs and stuff to see them. But so it's really kind of nice. You know, we just kind of relax and it's hectic leading up to it, but it's really nice once it's all done. We don't have to go anywhere afterwards. So
in theory, if you sold that house, Stacey, and there was a new owner, would people still descend on Thanksgiving Day to that one
they
house?
They might. Right? They might. Although Griffin kind of has already, he's totally just like Scott, like just wants to, he just loves routine and comfort. So he's already kind of put claims on the house that when we move, he wants to buy it from us. So this might be Griffin's family tradition as time goes on too.
Nice. That's a really cool day, especially because it doesn't kill you. And Thanksgiving's, everyone that cooks the full bird and stuffing is like, oh yeah, that's a terrible long day, you know?
Yes.
So you got good. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. We do actually have a turkey cooking in our oven, but I just kind of baste it and then tell everybody when it's done. It's all prepared and just put in there and cooking. It's like a magic little trolls come over and do it for us. So that works for me.
Nice. Okay. Outstanding.
Yeah.
So I tell you what, if you're listening and you've got like crazy Thanksgiving chaos, like let us know. Or if you've got Thanksgiving down to like a science, then let us know as well too, because it is a great holiday. It's all about family and it's all about just relaxing. But like any holiday that involves multiple sides of the family always has potential to be stressful just because of the buildup. So let us know how it goes for you guys. So
absolutely. So you had a fun family. Speaking of family, I'm trying to like come up with a really smooth transition here, but it's not really working. So I'm just going to go with it. You had some family time recently. You took a pretty snazzy trip out west. Do you want to tell us about that?
Okay. So you're right. We did take a trip to California. And I guess the full run-up is, as far as me giving trip reports, I've always been like a little hesitant to give trip reports because you guys know I love talking and I love Disney, but you know what? And I like to say that I know quite a bit, but I'm not an expert. So if you hear something, I've always been like, oh, I hope I didn't say anything wrong, but I've got some good like tips and experiences because I'm not a Disneyland California expert. And like, these are things that like I screwed up. And I know now much better. So I figure if you guys can learn from some of the fun things that we did by mistake or some of the things that we did intentionally that ended up being a disaster, like learn from them. But Stacey, you've been to California, you've been to Disneyland, and this trip solidified how much, in fact, I really love going to California and the parks in California. So you're a driver, right?
Yeah.
You took the how many hour trip was that, Stace?
Oh, we took, I think, 4 days, but really, I think 10 hours was our longest day. Okay. Otherwise, we kind of broke it up. Yeah.
4 days. So she took the Oregon Trail and
yeah, basically.
Everyone got dysentery and died. No. So, well, we flew. So here's where we're not going to go step by step, but here are the things that I learned when taking the trip to California from Chicago. It's about a 4-hour flight, and delays in the tarmac make it a heck of a lot longer. So the first tip is make sure you bring enough stuff to keep your kids entertained. But most importantly, if you fly Southwest Airlines, Southwest now has free text messaging on all flights, and they have free live TV and free movies.
But oh, that's great.
But if you're not smart enough to download the Southwest app before you take off, you only get free TV. You don't get the free movies. So even though it might seem like, oh, yeah, I could just access it, you've got to download the Southwest app to get free movies. And the library, Stacey, is like 50 movies long. Everything from, like
that's great.
Toy Story 4 to like The Meg and like action and adventure and like, I mean, it's a huge library. So download the Southwest app. Kept the kids all entertained. Piece of cake, easy peasy. We landed in LAX. The closest airport to Disneyland is SNA. It's John Wayne International. And it's a little closer, maybe with no traffic. And I want you guys to just stop and absorb that. I said with no traffic in California. Stacey, how often does no traffic happen in California, right?
Yeah, not very often.
I was texting back and forth, and I had to preface a text to Stacey saying, may I swear? So 20 minutes from SNA, easily 45 minutes from LAX, but the airfare from Southwest was way cheaper into LAX. We went and got our luggage, and we went and rented, like we didn't rent, we participated in a shuttle service to our hotel. So we participated and we actually had a shared shuttle from Super Shuttle. So there's a bunch of different companies. Super Shuttle is one of them. Do research on it. Disneyland has, they have their own version of the Magical Express, but it costs. It, you have to pay for it. It's not free. So when in comparing costs, the Super Shuttle was the cheapest. And we were a little nervous. Angie Weaver West had a bad experience with them. So as soon as she says, do not use Super Shuttle, of course, my like my throat sunk into my belly, you know, as I think I'm just setting my family up for failure. It couldn't be easier. Easy text messages, notifications, quick service, quick pickup. It was fine. It took us 2 hours from the airport to the hotel. And that was in traffic. And the
that's like half of your plane ride,
right?
Just to get from the airport to the hotel. That's crazy.
And the traffic is five lanes in each direction. So it's a major highway and it's going nowhere. It's a parking lot. But you just, you know what? You just relax and you go on. What we couldn't get past is, I don't know if it's legal, but in between the cars, motorcyclists are flying by like it's a video game, like it's Grand Theft Auto, just flying by the car. And like, if you're not expecting it, Stacey, we live in Chicago. We drive in like the third largest city in the country with insanity left and right. This kind of made Chicago seem a little tame because with no regard for their safety, 40 miles an hour in between stuck traffic, at any point a car could swerve. It was, it was bizarre. 2 hours, okay, and we got to our hotel finally. We were the second drop-off of a shared shuttle. We stayed at a place called Stovall's, S-T-O-V-A-L-L, apostrophe S, Best Western. And it's on the map. It's right by Paradise Pier and on the corner of Disney property by California Adventure. So in your mind, you're thinking this is a good neighbor hotel, which it is. It's really close. You have no idea how far it is from the park entrance.
Right.
It's 1 mile.
Do
you want to know why I know it's 1 mile? Because I measured it. It is over 2,000 steps from leaving our hotel to the entrance of Disneyland or California Adventure. So when you're staying at a good neighbor hotel, now there are others on the other side of the promenade that are in fact closer. Don't be afraid to go and pull out Google Maps and go and actually measure that distance because it can be very far. Paradise Pier is probably 3/4 of a mile from the park entrance. And as a matter of fact, the Disneyland Hotel is probably not a half a mile, but pretty close to a half a mile to the park entrance. It is not convenient. Now, they have shuttles and you can hook onto a monorail that takes you directly into Disneyland Park. But these good neighbor hotels that are walking distance, they are, but it's a mile. So remember, you're at the parks all day. It's a mile to, and it's a mile from. And if you get wet, if you get sick, if you're not feeling well, there really is no quick return unless you hit like an Uber on Harbor Boulevard and take your, you know, there's really no quick trip. So take out Google Maps, figure out how close you are and how far you're willing to walk because there are closer ones. You know, Jen stayed at Fairfield Inn and that was closer than ours.
Right.
So
yeah, just do some good Google mapping and also look up reviews because that's how we found the hotel that we stayed at, which was a 15-minute walk. If we walked it in the mornings, so it's about a mile. Mm-hmm. But we lucked out because the buses went to the parking. It was like the Disneyland parking lot was right next to the hotel. So on our way home, we would just hop on a bus to the parking lot, and our hotel was right there, like right next to the lot. So that was something that I kind of found when I was Googling.
Genius.
You know, good hotels. So, but yeah, it's surprising because it just looks so close. You're like looking at a map. You're like, oh my gosh, this is the closest that you can be. And then you're like, oh yeah, that you still have to go all the way around to get there. Yeah. So
tourist here.
Yep. Exactly. Where'd
you stay again, Stacey? What was the hotel?
It was the, oh goodness. Now, so I might
Embassy
have to
Suites,
go,
right?
No, it was that we did the Embassy Suites just for the one or two nights at the beginning, but it was Homewood Suites.
Homewood
by
Suites.
Hilton.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of them, and ours was the one that was right by the Toy Story lot.
Okay.
Okay,
that's good.
And
that's good tip. And I know Jen stayed at the Fairfield Inn, which is across the street, the promenade, by the Panera Bread. So, again, do your research. But the good neighbor hotels. Now, in any, like hotel. I mean, you're going to find a bad experience. If you look for it, you're going to find a good experience. But just think, if you're only there for, well, now we were there for just the weekend, and no, we are not like super wealthy. We can afford that. We literally had Southwest points that were expiring that could take us anywhere in the country. And well, obviously, you know, we're going to go to some kind of Disney function. Right. So we're going to California. But you know, read the reviews, and you know what? A lot of them are really nice hotels, and they try to offer you a nice experience. Now, it's not cheap. Ours was one of the cheapest, and it was still $170 a night without the taxes. So it was right. It was well past $200, but it contained a full hot breakfast.
Yes, that's a game changer right there.
Huge, huge, and it was good. It wasn't like super fancy artisanal breakfast or like a character breakfast, but if you could name like the top 25 breakfast foods, they had it. Scrambled eggs and breakfast burritos and donuts and muffins and cereal. It was really good. And it's like, okay, a full breakfast here got me till like 1 o'clock and I was good. You know, I didn't feel like I was like just Pop-Tarts like we would at like in Florida. You know what I mean? So,
right.
And we do the same thing. So don't be afraid to go off property. And the reason I say that was we were looking at the Disneyland Hotel. $538 or it was maybe $547 per night, not including of tax. So you could do the math pretty quickly. $170 or $540 essentially. It's not too hard to figure that math out. However, I will say the first night we got there, all we did was explore the Disneyland Hotel, Trader Sam's, and the downtown Disney area. And as soon as I walked into the center courtyard where the pool's at in Trader Sam's at Disneyland Hotel, I had felt like I made a mistake. Like I should have stayed there. But it's only like the Disney man. It's like the Disney curtain that overwhelms you. But like when you see the blue light shining and you see the you know, the monorail by the pool and you're like, oh no, this is where I wanted to be. I made a mistake. But in hindsight, I mean, I know I'd have gotten home. I'd have been a crabby dude if I looked at the credit card bill afterwards.
Yes. Well, and can I just like, let me add too, like staying at a good neighbor hotel, it's I kind of really enjoyed the whole walk in the morning there because we would stop at 7-Eleven and get a coffee. Like you would, it's, you can stop at CVS. Like there's all these different little convenient places if you need something, if you forgot something, and it's not Disneyland prices. It's, you know, they're probably a little bit inflated in that area, but, it's super convenient to have at your fingertips really anything that you could possibly need before you get to the park. I think we passed 2 7-Elevens from our hotel there. So
Walgreens's and everything. You're right.
Yep, exactly.
So great tip. So again, first night, don't pass this up. Go to the Disneyland Hotel. Go to the lobby of all three towers and look at the bottom. There is concept art. There's original art. There is 1/64th model size of like Big Thunder Mountain. And for like a Disney nerd, like we all are, it's magical. You'll find yourself taking pictures of pictures in the lobby. And it's, it's really, really special. Trader Sam's, Friday night, very crowded. We couldn't even get a spot, even though that's what I was so looking forward to. But I didn't worry about that. We were just there to have fun. But walk through the lobbies of the hotels. It's the original. And there's something really special in every lobby. Definitely worth your time. The adventure, you know, there's a whole thing at Adventureland. And it's really, really special. Don't miss it.
Yeah.
When you go through downtown Disney, your first impression is, this is much smaller than Florida. But it's actually rather large. It's pretty good size from where you enter to actually, you know, pretty much the La Brea, which is the last restaurant option as you hit the theme parks. It is good size. So don't be, you know, I guess don't be fooled by thinking that you'll walk through in just a few minutes. There's a lot of shops. There's a lot of Disney shops. There's a lot of food options. They have plenty of things to do. And the La Brea, which is the bakery right before you hit the theme parks, they've got good, relatively inexpensive, I think they were $10 bread bowls with soup, which are really filling if you're eating all the bread, and they make really good pizza. So that got the Chris two thumbs up. Feel free to go do that. The very next day, we decided we're going to hit Disneyland, and by luck of the draw, we were the first people up after the monorail left, so they allowed us to go and sit in the front car.
Ooh, fancy.
Hang on. When we pulled up to the station, three, like, I don't know, like 12-year-old girls were sitting in the front car, like, laughing and giggling. So I told, like, Lucille and Judah, I was like, you guys want to ride in front? Go ahead. Go ride in front. And no one wanted to sit in front. So here Chris is. So I go into the front car. I got these girls laughing and giggling. So, you know, I talk to anybody. And I'm like, girls, I was like, you're going to think I'm a nerd, but I got to refilm this. And they were laughing at me and they were talking. So I got this full video where, like, the monorail pilot comes out. And it was really cute. But, yeah, I got the opportunity to sit in the front. But I didn't hog it. I offered it to everybody, and no one wanted to do it except Beatrice. But I couldn't put Beatrice up there. She,
like, yeah, you know, exactly.
So I was able to sit there. Really cool experience. You still are allowed to sit in the front of the monorail right next to the pilot.
That's something that we did not. We didn't do the monorail at all, and we really regret that. So now we have to go back to do the monorail. So, you know,
we didn't do it our first trip either, Stacey. We just missed the idea of doing.
Yeah, that's we did too.
Okay. So here's the first thing. Chad, I saw you actually post this in a different Facebook group. And if you're a parent of young kids, you will have gone through this in your life. So my youngest, Beatrice, who is relatively fearless on the playground and can do the monkey bars like no one's business, she gets easily scared at various things. Roller coasters, the heights, how fast things go. So we were trying to build it up, show her videos. And like the whole idea was she was going to go on each ride with the family, and the whole family was excited. And as soon as we get there, the first ride we wanted to go on was the Matterhorn. And all of a sudden, she starts crabbing and crying and fighting.
Aww.
And you know what? As a parent failure, I will admit that, like, I was like a little frustrated because like she had committed to going on these things. Now, she's 7 years old. I get that. So mama took her out of line, and I was a little frustrated because I wanted the whole family to experience this.
Right.
And, you know, you go through this weird range of emotion where you're trying to, like, rationalize and talk to, like, a six-year-old or, like, a seven-year-old about going on these rides, which, truthfully, are really pretty intimidating. And so, all right, fine. She had a cry, and we cried it out, and she didn't want to go on it. Well, then she didn't want to do the same thing on space Space Mountain. So now we're at the second where we waited the entire ride, and then we had to get out at the last moment. So now it's like a frustrating experience.
Yeah,
and she's crying, and I thought to myself, you know, like, I could either continue to try and get her to go on these attractions or just say it's her vacation too and heck with it. And let's just use the rider swap from this point forward. So my fault as a parent, I genuinely was frustrated for the first two attractions. And then we did an about face and we realized we're going to ruin the whole trip trying to get her on Big Thunder Mountain and trying to get her on Splash Mountain. Let's just let her go on what she wants to go on, as opposed to hoping the family has this magical experience, because clearly she's not having a magical experience. Right. And then all of a sudden, Rider Swap was awesome.
Yes.
So here's the deal. If you've never used Rider Swap before, the family goes on. One person waits with the one that doesn't want to go on. Then the other parent can go on with two people from before. So in theory, two people get to ride it twice in a row, back to back to back. And I'm like, why didn't I do this at the Matterhorn? And why didn't I do this at Space Mountain? All of a sudden, like, Beatrice, the carousel, a little too frightening, huh? You know, I'm trying to like, are you sure you want to go on this one, bitch? But, like, so if you've ever tried to, like, convince your young one to go on a ride they're not ready for, it can't work out in your favor. Because emotionally and physically, they're just not ready for it. And yes, you could probably convince them or force them. But, I mean, what's the chances of them having success afterwards? It's like zero. But, like, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. So, like, I was going to make sure she knew that I was frustrated with her. So, eventually, once we got that out of our heads, we're good. So, if you've done that, listen to your buddy Chris. It just isn't worth it, you know.
You avoid all the glares from all the people judging you around you too. So
right,
and you just don't do it.
Don't do it. Just listen to me and don't do it. So great day, you know. You reinforce how great the park is. You know, you go to Big Thunder Mountain, it's magical, and Pirates of the Caribbean, it's different. It's just different than the one in Florida, and the Jungle Cruise is different. Everything was. You just have to be there to experience how nice it is. We had the holiday overlay for the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to be one of the first people to raise my hand and say I do not like The Nightmare Before Christmas, and I do not enjoy the overlay. Both times I've been in the Haunted Mansion, it's been the holiday overlay. So,
oh, yeah. So that's not good.
I'm a crabby dude about that. But, I mean, it's well done. I get it. But I just want to see the Haunted Mansion, you know?
Yeah, that would be hard if those both your times going,
both
you couldn't
times,
see it. Yeah.
You know? We were able to see both the Columbia and the Mark Twain, you know, go around the rivers of America. So that was really pretty awesome.
That is very cool.
Crabby moment of the day was later on in the evening. And we're going to talk about Max Pass here in a second. But crabby moment of the evening, Indiana Jones is potentially my favorite ride there. Maybe the Pirates is. So the Indiana Jones, even with Max Pass, is still a good 25, 30 minute wait.
Right.
It's like 35 minutes. We get up to the point where we're probably 20 people from boarding. And all of a sudden, the ride stops functioning.
No.
You wait 10 minutes, and the announcement is that the ride is shut down for the evening.
Oh, gosh.
And, like, the profanity streak is just, I'm like, my eyes are getting, like you gotta be, you know? And, and it's like every horror movie you've ever seen, because the hallway is stacked with people.
Yeah,
and the queue for that one is like a mile long.
Yes, it's so long.
So if you've ever been claustrophobic, you'll never be as claustrophobic as when the herds are trying to exit the Indiana Jones ride backwards, and like the people in front.
Nobody cares about staying in line at that point. You're just trying to get out.
Correct. It's like the zombie apocalypse, and you're just trying to stampede out of people. Of course, it's not like that, obviously, but like no one in front of you. Like, or behind you, knows what's going on. They're like, what are you doing? Go backwards. Why? Because it's not working.
Gosh.
You know? So you could just imagine a cluster that brewed there.
Yes.
So let's talk about Max Pass. Did you get Max Pass when you were there, Stacey?
I did, yes.
Okay. Max Pass, in terms of the way that I like to operate in a theme park, it is the Chris version of what the Magic Band should be. So here, I'll give everyone the idea of Max Pass. So you don't plan attractions, you know, 3.5 years ahead of time like you do at Walt Disney World. You plan attractions the day of, and you can only request them the moment you enter the park. The park activates. So you know I don't like to make plans too far in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say on that particular Saturday, I wanted to go to California Adventure. And all of a sudden, you'd enter California Adventure, and you could start planning your Max Passes. Oh, welcome, Chris. Pick from your attractions. Okay, I'll pick this one. And then it says, great, you've got all five people. You can select your next one in, you know, at 10:55 a.m. Then at 10:55, you can select another Fast Pass attraction. It saved you from going to the box where the tickets would actually shoot out, and it would be on your phone.
Right.
It was a lifesaver, and it was so freeing because, like, Stacey, I don't know what park I'm going to go to on any one given day. If I planned June for Saratoga Springs, you expect me to know right now that I want to go to Epcot on the Tuesday in Animal Kingdom?
Right.
Now, if you're a crazy planner, which there's nothing wrong with that, that's part of the fun for a lot of people. It's not me. You know, what if I planned only Epcot one day and I got there and that day was 90% chance of rain?
Right.
Well, I'm moving that plan around, but my fast passes are tied into that one day and now I've lost the ability to use that. You know, so that's a really restrictive option. You don't have to worry about that. As soon as you enter the park, you start plucking off your fast passes. I wasn't denied anything that I wanted on any one trip. It was perfect. It's exactly what Magic Band should be.
Yeah, it's really, really amazing. We thought about that a lot while we were there. we really liked it. In fact, on the last day, we didn't have the Max Pass option. And so we were almost like all just kind of really disgruntled as we were going through the park. It's like, you know, a ride might have had like a 10-minute wait, but we were like, oh, we don't have Max Pass. You can't.
It's really good. It's $15 a person in addition to the thing. But it saved you from having to run from Splash Mountain all the way across to Space Mountain and get the tickets in the little ticket kiosk, which are still really cool to collect, by the way. You know, but like, yeah, it was so easy to do. And I know Magic Band helps move people around and they help, you know, organize things. But there's a lot of reasons for the Magic Band. That's just not the only one.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of ways to track people and figure out spending habits and stuff like that that Disney uses for other reasons. But this was like, this was for convenience for the, for like the park goer. So you, everyone who listens that's a member of EDCOT is like, oh yeah, this is like exact, this is, this was like, if I could think of a system, this would be it.
Yes.
And it was great. And you could still do your dining reservations far in advance, but this was great. Of course, we had no dining reservations because that's not how I roll, you know. But my fallback always is the Hungry Bear, and the, mm-hmm. the Hungry Bear never disappoints. It's always good, and there's it's got more seating than just about any other restaurant I could think of.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
So the Hungry Bear was where we went to. I did do the mobile ordering several times. We mobile ordered for Hungry Bear. We mobile ordered for Peppermint Beignets. Which were
no.
They were not good. They were not good. It was, I don't even want to be like mean or negative, but they were just not good. But they did have a cranberry mojito, which was non-alcoholic. That was amazing. That was really good. And then we did mobile ordering for one other item, though. For dinner later on at like I forgot the name of the restaurant, but it's kind of like their version of. You know, I couldn't even describe it. It's in Tomorrowland. It's not quite
Cosmic Rays.
It's not quite Luncheon Pad. It's not quite Cosmic Rays.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of a combination because you order from the outside. You don't go inside like Cosmic Rays, you know?
Got
so
it.
It's kind of a combination of both of those. So, but I did mobile ordering. That's great too. You just pick your time period. You want the food to be ready. Go to the pickup window. You paid and you're good to go. And that's a lifesaver.
We did that a lot with the Dole Whips. We did mobile ordering a lot with that. Although sometimes the mobile ordering was way longer than the regular line. Mm-hmm. And so we'd always check to see which one was longer. And sometimes like the mobile ordering was like 15 minutes. And then we would just walk up to the window because there was nobody standing there ordering person. So
you can do that. It's great. We went to Galaxy's Edge, and that was my first time in any Galaxy's Edge. And we waited an hour for the Smuggler's Run.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it about 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the evening. Now, you're like, did you purposely wait? And the answer was no. You know, I'm a Star Wars fan, but I'm not super huge mega Star Wars fan. And so I was texting Tim back and forth, and Tim said, I could actually see you like not even going, or like, is it on your itinerary? And mm-hmm. I said, it'll be on my itinerary, but like, I wasn't like, oh my gosh, I've got to get back there and do it.
Right.
But we happened to hit it right when the sun was setting. And
beautiful.
Not even the super Star Wars fan, because I'm not. It is amazing. And it's as immersive as everyone says. And the sights and the sounds are just as good as everyone says it to be. And we waited like almost an hour and 15 minutes for the Smuggler's Run ride, and we just waited mm-hmm. in line. And the queue is a little boring as you're waiting in line. There's not a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of.
It's boring. And I got off the ride, and I told Tim, I texted Tim saying, Tim, I actually feel a little guilty because I was the pilot. And so the whole family went on, and he's like, no guilt. He goes, what'd you think? And I said, honestly, it's about an 8.5 out of 10, maybe a 9 out of 10. And that's from a non-Star Wars crazy guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's that good that it's like an 8.5 out of 10, at least in my mind. It was that much fun and that worth it to go. So if you've not been, it's completely worth it. And eventually they'll have it as part of the Fast Pass system, but it's not right
now.
You can only wait.
Did you get your own thing, or did you have a single rider with you guys?
A single rider joined, but you know, she joined at the end. So when they were handing out tickets, it's pilot,
yes.
gunner, engineer,
yes.
engineer. So Beatrice and Jude were gunners. Mama sat there and recorded video. And the single, you know, unless she's first, she wasn't going to be the pilot because I didn't have a choice.
Right.
I didn't raise my hand and say, I want to be pilot. They just handed out the tickets. And
yeah, I think that that's how they do it with the single riders. You just kind of get what's left over. Though our single riders were really, we had two of them with our, we did when we had four people. And they were very happy because we wanted to trade with them. So they got to be the pilots, I think, one of the times.
Okay.
But yeah, it was, the single riders with the family, it's a little bit, if your family, I'm sure, was totally into it. Because I know that, like, we were, like, hooting and hollering in there. And I think that the one time when we had somebody, they were kind of like, oh, my gosh, what did I just get myself into? This is crazy family.
Oh, no. You know what? You're at Disney. If you aren't hooting and hollering, and I know I was joking about hands up. If your hands aren't up on the rides, like, you're doing it wrong. Like, that's the one chance you have to, like, say, heck with it. I'm just going to go crazy and have fun.
Yeah.
You know, I'm making like loud like comments as and like we're laughing. That's where you do that at. Absolutely. I don't know. She got the engineer. I view the engineer as like the worst option by far.
Yeah, I know. It's like that can't really do much.
So,
right?
anyways, that was a really cool experience. The Small World holiday overlay is really nice. I really enjoy that Small World.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that was a really cool experience. Beatrice's, I think that might be her favorite ride, is Small World.
Yeah, I really liked that at Disneyland.
But now remember, we're up for a long time, and now we got a mile walk back, and everyone's feet.
Oh, yes.
We're tired, we're sore, but it was a really good day. But if you don't want to eat, like, let's say you're looking for something just like light, remember you're walking through downtown Disney and there's nothing light there either. And it's expensive. So at least where we stayed, there was not a lot of food options on the way home. So we did happen to have dinner there, like I said, I apologize. I can't think of the name of the place right now. I could pull out a map. The one thing I was disappointed was I was looking to buy a candy cane on Main Street. You know about the candy canes?
I do. I also know that they're really, really hard to get.
Oh, I've got a postcard right here that actually has the dates and the time that they're starting to be available, and there's restrictions of like how many you could get. I was like, exactly.
Limit. Don't you have to get in line like right away in the morning, and then they sell out usually?
Candy canes 2019 handmade candy canes starting November 29th and November 30th at the Candy Palace and Trolley Treats. Limit one wristband per guest. Wristband entitles bearer to purchase one candy cane. So people are like, why? They make them homemade and like they literally craft them, bend them, and you know. So I was so looking forward to it, and of course, obviously, I was way too early. But
yeah, oh, that's a bummer.
So we're back. Next day at California Adventure, and California Adventure quickly is my number, it potentially might be my number two favorite Disney park, and Disneyland's number one. It's probably still Magic Kingdom, but it might just be California Adventure. That's how much fun it is. First attraction, again, Max Pass. First attraction of the day is the Guardians Mission Breakout. And so you combine things that I love. You've combined the Tower of Terror, or you know, Mission Breakout, and you combine the Guardians. And we were there the last day the tower was rolling, the original tower. So I was a little speculative this was going to be good, and it's a great conversion. They've done a great job.
Yeah, they did a great job.
Oh, the video's great. It's fun, rock and roll. I don't want to spoil it, but they did a great job. I just thought it was wonderful. The tower in Florida, though, what do you think? Is it better, or is this one better? What do you think?
You mean like just the actual, like the ride?
Yeah.
Take away all the theme from it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the ride, I think, in Florida is better. But I really liked Guardians of the Galaxy a lot.
It's true. If the one in Florida, let's say, is like a 9.5 out of 10, this is like a 9.2 out of 10. It's really close. Enough to make you pause and think
about it. And I wish
that,
like... Yes, because like I mean, I love Tower of Terror so much, but I really, really love the Guardians of the Galaxy so much too. Like, I almost wish we could have two of them and in Florida and have both of them next to each other so that I could have them both. Yeah, it would be a really big toss up for me. Like, if they converted Tower of Terror in Florida to Guardians of the Galaxy, I'd be sad, but I probably would get over it pretty quickly because it's just really amazing.
That's a great point. I would be sad too. I'd be like, oh. Okay, that's kind of cool. You know, I mean, I'd be torn. So we found Figment in the lobby. Did you know there's a Figment in one of the boxes?
And that, yes,
T-Von collected a Figment, and we watched this on YouTube, and we got a picture of him. So Figment's in Figment's in the lobby there. And the rest of the day was spent on doing fun things that Beatrice would want to do that day. We went.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, some kid attractions. We took the Goofy's Sky, you know, this little Sky coaster, which is like the Wild House, and she enjoyed that. On the fun wheel, I like the moving fun wheel. So me and Jude went on the moving part. They went on the non-moving. The fun wheel is, for such a simple attraction, it is fantastic. Like, the world's greatest attraction. And if you go on with someone that doesn't know what to expect, the sheer look of terror on people's faces is priceless. We made a reservation. We were like, okay, we have to make one reservation to eat. I felt like, okay, I can't just eat like hot dogs, like, you know, 2 days in a row. So we made a reservation at Carthay Circle. And
you went big.
We went big. So we got there, checked in, and the dining room's upstairs. It's not downstairs. It's upstairs. Like, the lobby area is downstairs in the bar, or at least where we were seated. And they seated us in the center, like on one of like the corner tables that was shaped. It's kind of like a, it's hard to describe. It's a letter L, but it's rounded. And it, she said, okay, you have one of the seven special tables because the wood grain shows the evil queen and like the witch. And I was like, get out. And of course, here I am. I'm looking at it. And here's Chris taking pictures of the table wood grains.
Oh, cool.
So I have those to share as well, too. And Carthay Circle was all that was advertised. So it's expensive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's not pretend that it's not expensive. But everything, even like the cheapest quick service for a family of five is still... I mean, what was a family of six quick service, Stacey, when you went there?
Oh, probably like $75 or something like that, yeah.
Correct. It's between... The best you're going to do is $60 to like $80. That just is the reality. So this, with the DVC discount, was $135. So that wasn't too bad. You know, I figured...
No, that's why we think, too. Like, we're like, if we're going to spend $75 on something that we think is okay, let's go and spend $130 on an experience that we can always remember. So...
Yeah, so, of course, my son... God love him. My son has got a great appetite, and he's adventurous in dining in ways that most people will never know. He will just pick something that sounds good. He'll have never had it before, and he'll eat it. You know, it could just
That's
be something.
Great.
Yeah, until he always picks the most expensive thing in the menu, and he makes his dad's blood boil constantly because, like, you don't even know what that is. What are you doing? You know, so he picks the most expensive thing in the menu. Lucille picks the Angus beef burger. Beatrice, but she's really in tune. Here's another good tip. If you're a vegetarian and you look in that menu and you're deciding ahead of time, they have like 20 other options that aren't on the menu. If you mention to them you have you're not eating red meat, or you're a vegetarian, or you have a gluten allergy, she was like, oh, really? And like, before she mentioned like 10 things they could make for us.
Wow.
So just because the menu has X, that's not all they have. And as a matter of fact, I would encourage you to say you're a vegetarian, just so you can hear, or what are your vegetarian options?
Right.
Because like, she listed 10 things that weren't even, they made a homemade veggie burger. She's like, we make everything by scratch. So let me tell you the ingredients. And like, after like the third ingredient, I was like, yes, you know, so served
That's
on
great.
Warm brioche with like, oh, aged cheddar. And she had me at like the point where it was homemade.
Uh-huh.
Cars Land, amazing. Cool experience at Cars Land. We're on Radiator Springs Racers, and there's a couple single riders. One was put with us, and one was the other. And just going to throw it out there, you know, so me and the dad and, you know, my family of like goofy kids and the other family, and they're a black family. And the dad got put with us, and the kid got put with another family. And the dad was like not so much concerned. He was like happy that the kid got put with someone. And I told the dad, I was like, you're getting adopted by my family today. And the dad was laughing so much so that we took the best selfie, me and him. I said, before you go on, I was like, you and me are taking a picture. I don't even know this guy's name. We were laughing and joking with each other the whole time. And I realized afterwards, I was like, that's the whole point of like a Disney trip is like we had two strangers, didn't know each other. If I can send you the selfie by text right now and you would be laughing. We had the best time with this guy. I'll never see again, taking pictures with each other. And it was, that's the point of a family vacation.
Right.
And like, we'll never see each other again. And it was really, really cool. Cars Land is everything that I've said it was. And it's just as immersive as Galaxy's Edge, if not more so. And it's amazing. And it's almost worth a trip to California just to see Cars Land. Even if you don't like the movie, you could go there and say, you know, sweet cat's pajamas. Yeah, Chris is right. This is amazing. So
yeah, absolutely.
Pixar Pier at night, really good. And the Incredicoaster, they did a great job with the Incredicoaster. And that roller coaster itself is fantastic.
So fun.
So much fun. Incredicoaster. Get your fast passes, though. Make sure your max passes are there for, I mean, continually be aggressive and look at the moment you can start booking, book again. Book the Guardians again. Book the Incredicoaster again. Book Toy Story Mania, because even with MaxPass, there's still 20 and 30 minute waits for those attractions. But use it to its fullest extent. Here's the one crazy experience we had. So we get there after the Guardians. There is a Disney Visa card character hangout right by the Marvel area. Beatrice took a picture with her Captain Marvel shirt standing by the Carol Danvers plane in her Captain Marvel poses, which I haven't posted yet. She's got a great picture. Visa cardholder special character meet and greet by the Marvel area. And we're like, all right, there's no one in line. Let's get in line. So we waited, and then behind us, like 40 families joined up.
Of course, yeah. You just have to get in line.
We're super excited. I hear some lady ask, so who is it? And they're like, oh, we can't tell you. It's one of three special characters. So we're like, okay, well, we saw Captain America over there, and we're by Captain Marvel, and this is going to be awesome. So we're the third family in line. We turn the corner, and which character is it?
Spider-Man.
Yeah. Stitch.
No!
And we were like,
what?
I felt like, wah, wah. You know, no knock on Stitch, but it's just not what you were expecting, you know?
No, because you're in the Marvel area.
Right? So I this is like the evil side of Chris. I was like, I almost felt like walking around the corner and going, it's Stitch! You know, so like no one waits in line, you know, just to see that it's Stitch there. But then I was like, you know what? I don't want to do that because...
You're like, let them
suffer just
disappointment.
Let them suffer like me. So, but like, can you imagine? Like, we were like, oh, it's gonna be awesome. We're gonna take a picture with Cap, or we're gonna take a picture with, you know.
That is so funny.
Stitch.
Wah wah.
Well, it was exactly a wah wah moment. But outside of that, it was a great day. Just, you know what? When you go for a weekend, you realize it's a lot of travel. And on the day that we were going to fly back, we had to leave our hotel at 5:55 in the morning. Now, I will say, zero traffic at 6 in the morning on the expressways back to LAX. Piece of cake there. One thing to look forward to when you fly out of LAX, they've got a Danny Trejo. You know who he is? He's the famous Mexican actor. He's got that really gravelly voice, and like he looks like a Mexican gangster. He's got tattoos in his chest and his belly. He's super famous. He stars in the movie Machete. You would know him for sure if you saw his face.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
He's got a taco shop. He's got a couple of them. And he's got
I heard about that.
Yeah, he's got a location in LAX Airport. And so he's got a breakfast burrito that was like the best breakfast burrito I've ever had in my life. So Danny Trejo's Tacos, you know, hit it up
nice.
On the leaf. I don't know if you should buy a $30 t-shirt from Danny Trejo's Tacos, but just the burrito was good itself.
Did you buy one?
I tried. They didn't have my size. I'm a large or an extra large. I was like, what are you doing? What, how could you not have larges or extra larges? You know what I mean?
At a taco shop, of course you need large and extra, although it's LA, so.
So what? So I got mediums or like triple extra large? Like, who thought this plan? But the day we were flying back, we had an hour delay on the tarmac. So toss an hour delay on to the 4-hour flight on the way back.
Yeah.
Actually, the flight back's faster because you're going with the jet stream. But still, long time to travel, but relatively easy. I'm always amazed at how good Southwest makes it and how efficient they are in the airplane. They get you in quickly. I have no complaints about Southwest and their customer service.
So well, that's good.
Great trip. Again, don't be afraid to stay off property. Don't be afraid. Definitely get MaxPass. I can't stress that enough. Get the MaxPass. Everything is closer, but it doesn't mean... So my wife came back and said, a friend asked her today, well, is it smaller? Is it a little more doable? And the answer is no, it's not. Because, yes, there's only two parks, not four. And, yes, you don't got to take, you know, a bus everywhere.
Right.
And the park is a little smaller, but the crowds are just as big.
And yeah, and there's no downtime.
Correct.
You're just constantly going back and forth, whereas at least at Walt Disney World, you're taking a bus that takes 45 minutes to get wherever you need to go.
Yes. I love the park. I couldn't help but like I was taking pictures of like just like people because like it's so much fun to see the families. And like I was infatuated. I got to do a little more research on the Disneyland gangs. Did you see them when you were there?
I didn't, but I looked. We didn't, but it was also summer, so they might not be wearing like their jackets and things like that.
So this is a thing. So if you live on, if you go to Florida, the Disneyland gangs. I have to do more research on this. Like just groups of people and like families. I saw moms and like daughters and grandmas. They were wearing their biker leather vests and like they would like claim an area, so like the Big Bad Wolf with a picture of the Big Bad Wolf or like the Toontown Squad, and like you would see these guys, but like you would like ask them for like a direction or like you needed help, and like they'd come right over and like they want to help you. And
yeah,
I don't know what it is, but it was
like the friendliest gangs ever.
Like the exactly. So if you've listened to this and you've never made it to Disneyland, I can only tell you that, you know, and I haven't been to Walt Disney World, a park, for a while. I mean, I've actually was in February, but I don't even recall if we went to Magic Kingdom or not. But, like, Disneyland is, like, this is corny, but, like, completely captured my heart. I love Disneyland and California Adventure. And I love Florida, yeah, too. I love Florida. But if you've never made it out west, it's something you've got to do. If you're hardcore Disney, you absolutely need to. If you're casual Disney, you should save up for it. And
absolutely.
You might not appreciate like Walt's apartment, like for the significance that it is. But like, look around, look at the petrified tree, and then do research on like when Walt gave that to Lillian and like how it got back to Disneyland. And all of a sudden, you're like, wow, it's like kind of like walking through like America's history when you're in Disneyland. So it's
really, yeah, it's very cool.
Very cool. And I fear I've already talked too long, so I probably should bring this to a close. But if you've not made it out there, make a point to try and make it out there in the next few years. It's so worth it. It's so worth it. I can't trust
you. Yeah, Britta was saying the other day in the car, you know, she's five. We talk a lot about Disney, of course, because she's my daughter. But she was saying that she's like, you know, Mom, she said, I really feel like I'm a Disneyland girl. She said, I really like Disney World too, but I really, really love Disneyland. I think I'm a Disneyland girl. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cute.
I love it. So much yes. So that, you know what, with our, with the people, they're not even listeners, like our friends, that, you know, when we shared, you know, when I share posts and pictures from our trip, like people are saying that'll be a great like Epcot trip. Now, I'm not pretending that like people are going to spend all this money to fly out to California, but I could completely see the Maliks, the Nymans, Vance Walls, who, you know, making a trip together. Because I think we all have similar vacation habits, even though we joke.
Right.
Amy could do all the planning. But on this one, Amy, it's MaxPass. You don't got to do the planning. Let your buddy Chris do the planning for this one, right?
And we could all drive. How fun would that be, right, Chris?
You lost me.
That would be amazing. You lost me. We could stop at Florence's house. We could stop at Tamara Spidell's. It would just be so much fun. I mean,
I could completely see Tamara and Florence making that trip too, you know, and joining us there. So anyways, if you have any questions, let's bring this to a close. But if you have any questions, Stacy's been there. I've been there. The people who listen to the show and interact, a lot of us have been there. We're EDCOT. EDCOT is our Facebook group. Or ask us on the WW, you know, Facebook page. And we're not experts. Lord knows we made lots of mistakes, but we learn from them and we can provide help. So if you have any questions, please let us know on EDCOT, which is our Facebook group, or the Dubs page. You right, Stace? Anything I forgot?
Yep. No, I think you got it all.
All right. So we wanted to make sure that everyone had something to listen to as you prepare your Thanksgiving turkey. Make sure that little timer thing doesn't pop out too early and you've got a raw bird.
No.
Right? No raw
Absolutely.
Birds?
Absolutely. No raw birds.
All right. So for listening, we appreciate it. Everyone, have a great Thanksgiving with your family. Hug them and tell them you love them because you know what? Family time is the most important time.
Absolutely.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everyone.